Don't worry about anything but in everything by prayer and petition. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us, beginning with in the book of Psalms, Psalm 91, beginning at verse 1. Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust him. For he will rescue you from every trap and protect you from deadly disease. He will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. Do not be afraid of the terrors of the night, nor the arrow that flies in the day. Do not dread the disease that stalks in darkness, nor the disaster that strikes at midday. Though 1,000 fall at your side, though 10,000 are dying around you, these evils will not touch you. Just open your eyes and see how the wicked are punished. If you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you. No plague will come near your home, for he will order his angels to protect you wherever you go. They will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your feet on a stone. You will trample upon lions and cobras. You will crush fierce lions and serpents under your feet. The Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. When they call on me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue and honor them. I will reward them with a long life and give them my salvation. All of Psalm 91. Thank you, Lord, again for your wonderful word. Thank you for the fact that your word is the sword of the Spirit. And not only is it the sword of the Spirit, but your word itself is an arsenal of many other weapons that we as believers can use. Thank you for the privilege of having your word, the powerful weapon that it is, as a weapon we can use in our daily lives as we step out onto the battlefields of life. Thank you today again, Father, for all those that have served our nation in the armed forces, in all the branches of the services. We thank you and praise you for them. Thank you for your hand of grace upon them. Flood their lives with joy, peace, and grace this day. Bless them according to your perfect will. Quicken them spiritually, physically, mentally. And Father, for any and all of those amongst them who do not know you as Lord and Savior, send amongst them those that would proclaim the gospel to them so that they would come to know Christ as Lord and Savior of their lives. Flood their lives with a greater portion of your peace, light, joy, grace, strength, and encouragement mightily today. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac Jackson is our producer. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, I just want to come in agreement with Pastor Joseph right now. Thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for the power of your word. Father, thank you so much that whenever you speak, it comes into being. Thank you so much that you spoke life into existence and that you speak life over us. Thank you so much for calling us into greater things. And Father, I also do want to thank you for our military and our armed forces. Thank you so much for your provision for them. Thank you so much for providing them to protect us. Father, I ask that you would continue to grow the United States of America, that you would create us into being more of a holy nation, fighting for your good ways. Thank you so much, Father, that we can have good families, that we can have good things to defend and fight for. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac, and thank you again for being a part of our listening family. You know, Psalm 91 that we read just a few moments ago is a powerful psalm. It's a wonderful tool in the Word of God. Now, all of the Word of God is wonderful and blessed in many, many ways. All of the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. Yet, amongst other things, the Word of God is full of spiritual weapons within the weapon of the Word of God. And Psalm 91 is one of those as well. And today, in honor of our veterans, I want to share an article based on Psalm 91 as well as pray the prayer based on Psalm 91. Psalm 91 is often referred to as the soldier psalm, and for good reason. It's a very wise psalm to both to quote as well as to pray on a daily basis. So our encouragement to every soldier, every military person in the world, our encouragement is that you take time to pray it daily. But you know what? Certainly we wouldn't stop there, because our encouragement is that every believer in the world would pray it daily. Because remember, in this crazy, dangerous world we live in, no one can protect you like the Lord can. So we would encourage you to do that. I'm going to take time now to share this psalm. And again, as I said, the Psalm 91 is often referred to as the soldier psalm. But this article is entitled Psalm 91, Protection Amid the Storm. And if you'd like to get a copy, email us at my email, joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get it to you. Again, the title of the article, Psalm 91, Protection Amid the Storm. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him I will trust. Psalm 91, verses 1 and 2. In a perilous world filled with diseases such as the flu, the coronavirus, many are very fearful and in so many ways. Inner cities and many other communities are simply dangerous places to be, with drug and human trafficking, muggings, murders, physical and sexual abuse, etc. Where can people go to be safe? Know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. 2 Timothy 3:1. In a world where people have been shot in workplaces, schools, churches, and stadiums, we wonder if we can be safe and secure anywhere. Is there any way to be protected from the dangers and perils we see all around us? Actually, God in His Word did provide us with a powerful weapon for divine protection. This weapon is found in His Word in the book of Psalms, particularly Psalm 91. If believers will choose to pray Psalm 91 daily and speak its promises every day, the Lord can protect us mightily. Are you aware that there is a place in God, a secret place for believers who desire and believe Him for divine protection? It is a place of protection and physical safety that God teaches us about in Psalm 91. There you find a collection of protection promises that form a powerful weapon of security and defense that only God can provide. We would be wise to confess those promises over our lives and over our families on a daily basis. And the following is one way to pray a prayer based on the wisdom and power of Psalm 91. Thank you, Lord, for all the believers and persons that we've lifted up in prayer today. And thank you for all those that are part of our listening family. Today we dwell in the secret place of the Most High, and so we abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Today we say of the Lord, You are our refuge and our fortress. Our God, in You do we trust. Surely You deliver us from the fowler's snare and from the noisome pestilence. You cover us with Your feathers, and under Your wings do we trust. Your truth is our shield and buckler. And so we are not afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor for the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at our side and 10,000 at our right hand, but it shall not come near us. Only with our eyes shall we look and see the reward of the wicked, because we have made the Lord our refuge, even the Most High our habitation. No evil will befall us, neither shall any plague come near our dwelling. For You give Your angels charge over us to keep us in all our ways. They bear us up in their hands, lest we dash our foot against a stone. We tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent. We trample underfoot. Because we have set our love upon You, therefore You deliver us. You set us on high because we have known Your name. We call upon You and You answer us. You are with us in trouble. You deliver us and honor us. With long life You satisfy us and show us Your salvation. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Again, the title of that article is Psalm 91, Protection Amid the Storm. If you'd like to get a copy, simply email me at joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get it to you. Again, that email, joseph@afr.net. And please, when you get it, our encouragement is that you will take time to pray it over yourself and over your family absolutely every single day. But also, don't stop there. please share it with family, friends, loved ones, co-workers on the job. Share it with fellow church members. Because remember, Psalm 91 is in everybody's Bible. But the fact is, the article is a great tool to help people understand why it's wise to be praying it every single day. Again, all of us live in this dangerous, dangerous world we live in, and it's dangerous for so many different reasons. But remember, we serve a Heavenly Father that's able to protect us in the midst of all the perils and dangers found within this world. I want to remind you also that, you know, some of the other prayers that we certainly would encourage you to pray are found in a prayer tool that we call Kingdom Prayers. And it's a prayer tool we've put together that has about a dozen prayers based on the Word of God. And if you haven't gotten a copy yet, please email us, same email, joseph@afr.net. Remember, it's a good tool for you to use in your personal walk with the Lord, a good tool to you for you to use with your family and the discipleship of your family and teaching your children how to pray effectively, but also a wonderful tool to pass on to other people that you know and that you're led of the Lord to share it with. Because remember this, everyone can use help, strength, and encouragement in their prayer life. Absolutely every believer in the world. So getting a prayer tool like that can be very helpful to you and helpful to other persons that you may know. Again, that email to get both the article, Psalm 91, Protection Amid the Storm, and the prayer tool, Kingdom Prayers, same email, joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. One of the prayers is the prayer of Jabez. And again, I would encourage you to pray it daily, because it's a prayer amongst other things that we're wise to pray if we desire for the Lord to use us more and more fruitfully to accomplish His work and His will in the world. Thank you, Lord, for all the believers and persons that are part of our listening family. And thank you for all those we've lifted up in prayer today. Father, and thank you for this broadcast as well. Bless each and every one of us indeed. Expand each of our territories. Cause your hand to be mighty upon each one of us. Keep each one of us from evil, that we may not cause pain. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Another one of the prayers is the prayer similar to the prayer that Isaiah prayed in Isaiah chapter 6, where he too desires the Lord to use him more. We again lift up all those we just mentioned in prayer as well. Thank you again, Father, for all those that are part of our listening family and all those we've prayed for today. Lord, here we are. We're available. Send us this day on many miracle missions in Jesus' name. Use us for your glory and show us your glory today in Jesus' name. Amen. And then there's a prayer similar to the prayer that Solomon prayed in the Word of God. Solomon wisely asked God for wisdom to be a good king. And each of us are wise to ask God for wisdom to be the best we can be of whatever He's called us to be and do. So asking for His wisdom daily is very, very wise. Thank you, Father, once again, for all of us that we mentioned just then. Thank you for your hand of grace upon each and every one of us, Lord. Father, give each one of us wisdom for that which you've called us to do today. Help us to be wise as men and women of God, wise as fathers and mothers, wise as grandfathers and grandmothers, wise as employers, employees, wise in any and all the capacities you've called us to serve you in, and help us to stand out in doing that. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. And then praying for the church and the nation. Thank you, Lord, for us as the church. Thank you for us as a nation, Lord. Help us as the church and as a nation to put you first. Help us to make no graven images. Help us to not take your name in vain. Help us to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Help us to honor our fathers and our mothers. Help us to not murder. Help us to not commit adultery. Help us to not steal. Help us to tell the truth. Help us to not covet. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. We'll be right back.
You're the one who walked on water, and you calmed the raging sea. Command the highest mountains to fall upon their knees. You're
Lincoln Brewster with More Than Amazing. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We pick up now reading through the Word of God in the Old Testament in the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 18, beginning at verse 1. Jehoshaphat enjoyed great riches and high esteem, and he made an alliance with Ahab of Israel by having his son marry Ahab's daughter. A few years later, he went to Samaria to visit Ahab, who prepared a great banquet for him and his officials. They butchered great numbers of sheep, goats, and cattle for the feast. Then Ahab enticed Jehoshaphat to join forces with him to recover Ramoth-Gilead. "Will you go with me to Ramoth-Gilead?" King Ahab of Israel asked King Jehoshaphat of Judah. Jehoshaphat replied, "Why, of course. You and I are as one, and my troops are your troops. We will certainly join you in battle." Then Jehoshaphat added, "But first, let's find out what the Lord says." So the king of Israel summoned the prophets, 400 of them, and asked them, "Should we go to war against Ramoth-Gilead, or should I hold back?" They all replied, "Yes, go right ahead. God will give the king victory." But Jehoshaphat asked, "Is there not also a prophet of the Lord here? We should ask him the same question." The king of Israel replied to Jehoshaphat, "There's one more man who could consult the Lord for us, but I hate him. He never prophesies anything but trouble for me. His name is Micaiah, son of Imlah." Jehoshaphat replied, "That's not the way a king should talk. Let's hear what he has to say." So the king of Israel called one of his officials and said, "Quick, bring Micaiah, son of Imlah." All of Ahab's prophets were prophesying there in front of them. One of them, Zedekiah, son of Kenaana, made some iron horns and proclaimed, "This is what the Lord says. With these horns, you will gore the Arameans to death." All the other prophets agreed. "Yes," they said, "go up to Ramoth-Gilead and be victorious, for the Lord will give the king victory." Meanwhile, the messenger who went to get Micaiah said to him, "Look, all the prophets are promising victory for the king. Be sure that you agree with them and promise success." But Micaiah replied, "As surely as the Lord lives, I will say only what my God says." When Micaiah arrived before the king, Ahab asked him, "Micaiah, should we go to war against Ramoth-Gilead, or should I hold back?" Micaiah replied sarcastically, "Yes, go up and be victorious, for you will have victory over them." But the king replied sharply, "How many times must I demand that you speak only the truth to me when you speak for the Lord?" Then Micaiah told him, In a vision, I saw all Israel scattered on the mountains, like sheep without a shepherd. And the Lord said, their master has been killed. Send them home in peace. Didn't I tell you, the king of Israel exclaimed to Jehoshaphat, he never prophesies anything but trouble for me. Then Micaiah continued, listen to what the Lord says. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne with all the armies of heaven around him, on his right and on his left. And the Lord said, who can entice King Ahab of Israel to go into battle against Ramoth Gilead so he can be killed? There were many suggestions, and finally a spirit approached the Lord and said, I can do it. How will you do this? The Lord asked. And the spirit replied, I will go out and inspire all of Ahab's prophets to speak lies. You will succeed, said the Lord. Go ahead and do it. So you see, the Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouths of your prophets, for the Lord has pronounced your doom. Then Zedekiah, son of Kenaanah, walked up to Micaiah and slapped him across the face. Since when did the Spirit of the Lord leave me to speak to you? He demanded. And Micaiah replied, you will find out soon enough when you are trying to hide in some secret room. Arrest him, the king of Israel ordered. Take him back to Ammon, the governor of the city, and to my son Joash. Give them this order from the king. Put this man in prison and feed him nothing but bread and water until I return safely from the battle. But Micaiah replied, if you return safely, it will mean that the Lord has not spoken through me. Then he added to those standing around, everyone mark my words. So King Ahab of Israel and King Jehoshaphat of Judah led their armies against Ramoth Gilead. The king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, as we go into battle, I will disguise myself so no one will recognize me, but you wear your royal robes. So the king of Israel disguised himself, and they went into battle. Meanwhile, the king of Aram had issued these orders to his chariot commanders. Attack only the king of Israel. Don't bother with anyone else. So when the Aramean chariot commanders saw Jehoshaphat in his royal robes, they went after him. There is the king of Israel, they shouted. But Jehoshaphat called out, and the Lord saved him. God helped him by turning the attackers away from him. As soon as the chariot commanders realized he was not the king of Israel, they stopped chasing him. An Aramean soldier, however, randomly shot an arrow at the Israelite troops and hit the king of Israel between the joints of his armor. Turn the horses and get me out of here, Ahab groaned to the driver of the chariot. I'm badly wounded. The battle raged all that day, and the king of Israel propped himself up in his chariot facing the Arameans. In the evening, just as the sun was setting, he died. 2 Chronicles chapter 19. When King Jehoshaphat of Judah arrived safely home in Jerusalem, Jehu, son of Hanani, the seer, went out to meet him. Why should you help the wicked and love those who hate the Lord? He asked the king. Because of what you have done, the Lord is very angry with you. Even so, there is some good in you, for you have removed the Asherah poles throughout the land, and you have committed yourself to seeking God. Jehoshaphat lived in Jerusalem, but he went out among the people, traveling from Beersheba to the hill country of Ephraim, encouraging the people to return to the Lord, the God of their ancestors. He appointed judges throughout the nation in all the fortified towns, and he said to them, always think carefully before pronouncing judgment. Remember that you do not judge to please people, but to please the Lord. He will be with you. He will be with you when you render the verdict in each case. Fear the Lord and judge with integrity. For the Lord our God does not tolerate perverted justice, partially or the taking of bribes. In Jerusalem, Jehoshaphat appointed some of the Levites and priests and clan leaders in Israel to serve as judges for cases involving the Lord's regulations and for civil disputes. These were his instructions to them. You must always act in the fear of the Lord with faithfulness and an undivided heart. Whenever a case comes to you from fellow citizens in an outlying town, whether a murder case or some other violation of God's laws, commands, decrees, or regulations, you must warn them not to sin against the Lord, so that he will not be angry with you and them. Do this, and you will not be guilty. Amariah, the high priest, will have final say in all cases involving the Lord. Zebediah, son of Ishmael, a leader from the tribe of Judah, will have final say in all civil cases. The Levites will assist you in making sure that justice is served. Take courage as you fulfill your duties. And may the Lord be with those who do what is right. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. After this, the armies of the Moabites, Ammonites, and some of the Meunites declared war on Jehoshaphat. Messengers came and told Jehoshaphat, "A vast army from Edom is marching against you from beyond the Dead Sea. They are already at Hazazon Tamar." This was another name for En-Gedi. Jehoshaphat was terrified by this news and begged the Lord for guidance. He also ordered everyone in Judah to begin fasting. So people from all the towns of Judah came to Jerusalem to seek the Lord's help. Jehoshaphat stood before the community of Judah and Jerusalem in front of the new courtyard at the temple of the Lord. He prayed, "O Lord God of our ancestors, you alone are the God who is in heaven. You are ruler of all the kingdoms of the earth. You are powerful and mighty. No one can stand against you. O our God, did you not drive out those who lived in this land when your people Israel arrived? And did you not give this land forever to the descendants of your friend Abraham? Your people settled here and built this temple to honor your name. They said, whenever we are faced with any calamity such as war, plague, or famine, we can come to stand in your presence before this temple where your name is honored. We can cry out to you to save us, and you will hear us and rescue us. And now, see what the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir are doing. You would not let our ancestors invade those nations when Israel left Egypt, so they went around them and did not destroy them. Now, see how they reward us. They have come to throw us out of your land, which you gave us as an inheritance. O our God, won't you stop them? We are powerless against this mighty army that is about to attack us. We do not know what to do, but we are looking to you for help." As all the men of Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, wives, and children, the Spirit of the Lord came upon one of the men standing there. His name was Jahaziel, son of Zechariah, son of Benaiah, son of Jael, son of Mattaniah, a Levite who was a descendant of Asaph. He said, "Listen, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem. Listen, King Jehoshaphat. This is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid. Don't be discouraged by the mighty army, for the do not be discouraged by this mighty army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, march out against them. You will find them coming up through the ascent of Ziz at the end of the valley that opens into the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not even need to fight. Take your positions, then stand still and watch the Lord's victory. He is with you, O people of Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid or discouraged. Go out against them tomorrow, for the Lord is with you. Then King Jehoshaphat bowed low with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem did the same, worshiping the Lord. Then the Levites from the clans of Kohath and Korah stood to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud shout. Early the next morning, the army of Judah went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. Verses 1 through 19, 1 through 20, 2 Chronicles chapter 20. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we're reading through the Word of God. We'll be back. Phillips, Craig, and Dean with Revelation Song. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We continue now reading through the Word of God as we pick up in Revelation chapter 13, beginning at verse 1. Then I saw a beast rising up out of the sea. It had 7 heads and 10 horns with 10 crowns on its horns. And written on each head were names that blaspheme God. This beast looked like a leopard, but it had the feet of a bear and the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave the beast his own power and throne and great authority. I saw that one of the heads of the beast seemed wounded beyond recovery, but the fatal wound was healed. The whole world marveled at this miracle and gave allegiance to the beast. They worshiped the dragon for giving the beast such power, and they also worshiped the beast. Who is as great as the beast? They exclaimed. Who is able to fight against him? Then the beast was allowed to speak great blasphemies against God, and he was given authority to do whatever he wanted for 42 months. And he spoke terrible words of blasphemy against God, slandering his name and his dwelling, that is, those who dwell in heaven. And the beast was allowed to wage war against God's holy people and to conquer them. And he was given authority to rule over, every tribe and people and language and nation. And all the people who belong to this world worshiped the beast. They are the ones whose names are not written in the book of life that belongs to the Lamb who was slaughtered before the world was made. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. Anyone who is destined for prison will be taken to prison. Anyone destined to die by the sword will die by the sword. This means that God's holy people must endure persecution patiently and remain faithful. Then I saw another beast come up out of the earth. He had two horns like those of a lamb, but he spoke with the voice of a dragon. He exercised all the authority of the first beast, and he required all the earth and its people to worship the first beast, whose fatal wound had been healed. He did astounding miracles, even making fire flash down to earth from the sky while everyone was watching. And with all the miracles he was allowed to perform on behalf of the first beast, he deceived all the people who belonged to this world. He ordered the people to make a great statue of the first beast, who was fatally wounded and then came back to life. He was then permitted to give life to this statue so that it could speak. Then the statue of the beast commanded that anyone refusing to worship it must die. He required everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to be given a mark on the right hand or on the forehead. And no one could buy or sell anything without that mark, which was either the name of the beast or the number representing his name. Wisdom is needed here. Let the one with understanding solve the meaning of the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666. Revelation chapter 14. Then I saw the Lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him were 144,000 who had his name and his Father's name written on their foreheads. And I heard a sound from heaven like the roar of mighty ocean waves or the rolling of loud thunder. It was like the sound of many harpists playing together. This great choir sang a wonderful new song in front of the throne of God and before the four living beings and the 24 elders. No one could learn this song except the 144,000 who had been redeemed from the earth. They have kept themselves as pure as virgins, following the Lamb wherever he goes. They have been purchased from among the people on the earth as a special offering to God and to the Lamb. They have told no lies. They are without blame. And I saw another angel flying through the sky, carrying the eternal good news to proclaim to the people who belong to this world, to every nation, tribe, language, and people. "Fear not," he shouted. "Give glory to him. Give glory to him, for the time has come when all will sit, for the time has come when he will sit as judge. Worship him who made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and all the springs of water." Then another angel followed him through the sky, shouting, "Babylon is fallen, That great city is fallen because she made all the nations of the world drink the wine of her passionate immorality. Then a third angel followed them, shouting, "Anyone who worships the beast and his statue, or who accepts his mark on the forehead or on the hand, must drink the wine of God's anger. It has been poured full strength into God's cup of wrath, and they will be tormented with fire and burning sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and the Lamb. The smoke of their torment will rise forever and ever, and they will have no relief day or night, for they have worshipped the beast and his statue and have accepted the mark of his name." This means that God's holy people must endure persecution patiently, obeying his commands and maintaining their faith in Jesus. "And I heard a voice from heaven saying, 'Write this down. Blessed are those who die in the Lord from now on.' Yes, says the Spirit, they are blessed indeed, for they will rest from their hard work, for their good deeds follow them. Then I saw a white cloud, and seated on the cloud was someone like the Son of Man. He had a gold crown on his head and a sharp sickle in his hand. Then another angel came from the temple and shouted to the one sitting on the cloud, 'Swing the sickle, for the time of harvest has come. The crop on earth is ripe.' So the one sitting on the cloud swung his sickle over the earth, and the whole earth was harvested. After that, another angel came from the temple in heaven, and he also had a sharp sickle. Then another angel, who had power to destroy with fire, came from the altar. He shouted to the angel with the sharp sickle, 'Sway your sickle now to gather the clusters of grapes swing your sickle now to gather the clusters of grapes from the vines of the earth, for they are ripe for judgment.' So the angel swung his sickle over the earth and loaded the grapes into the great winepress of God's wrath. The grapes were trampled in the winepress outside the city, and blood flowed from the winepress in a stream about 180 miles long and as high as a horse's bridle." End of Revelation chapter 14. Thank you once again, Father, for your word and the opportunity to read your word daily. Thank you for the many insights and the wisdom that we gain and grow in as we read and meditate on your word. Thank you for your Holy Spirit who illuminates our mind and our understanding to comprehend your word. And thank you for the fact that as we read and meditate on your word, your anointing increases more and more upon our lives. Help us to be wise enough to daily spend significant time in your word. Help us to be wise enough to teach and train our children to read your word out loud to us daily. And help us, Lord, to be diligently about the work of discipleship. Help us to know, Lord, and help us to discern that you've called the church all over the world to be involved in the Great Commission in which you told us, go into all the world and make disciples. Father, anoint us all afresh with the spirit of discipleship. Help us to recognize that every day is a day for us to be involved in the work of passing out gospel tracts and sharing our testimony of how we were saved, sharing maybe about answered prayers, and sharing about how to grow up in our faith. Thank you for the opportunity to encourage others daily, to read your word daily, to encourage them to shoot for a goal of reading 3 chapters a day. Help us to be committed to encouraging others in their prayer life and encouraging them to make time to more and more live what they learn from your word. Lord, fill us all afresh with your Holy Spirit and stir us more and more to recognize that every day is an important day. We don't have time to waste. But in the economy of eternity, help us to know, Lord, that we're to be passionately about your business every single day. Help us to faithfully do just that. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession, as we usually do. If you are listening and you have never asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart to be your Lord and Savior, you've never committed your life to Christ, today is a good day to make that step. Would you, if you'd like to be saved, would you simply from your heart pray this prayer with us even now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me with an eternal love. You loved me so much that you came into this world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all the wrong things I've ever done. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent of all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things that I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. In your word, you told us, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, today, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to live my whole life for you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you committed your life to Christ and prayed that prayer, we would like to be in touch with you. Once again, my email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We do want to share with you some resource materials and discipleship materials that will help you to begin to grow up and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord. We definitely hope to hear from you. Again, that email, joseph@afr.net. If you'd like to get a copy of the article we shared earlier, article entitled Psalm 91, Protection Amid the Storm, same email, joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get it to you. Thank you for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.